Wow, thank you so much, Miss Cindy, for that. If you have your Bibles, we're going to jump right into the Word of God tonight. Numbers chapter 13, and we're going to start in verse 26. We're going to read a few verses here. I kind of want us to kind of get the feel of what's going on in these verses. I don't really want to be super long tonight. I have something that's really just been an encouragement to me, that has been a help to me, and I'd really love just to pass it on to you in these next few minutes. So let's read it here in the verses here, and then we'll make a few points. It says, Numbers chapter 13, verse 26, it says there in verse 26 there, "And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled, and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea, and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses, and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight." Continuing there in chapter 14, it says, "And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we had died in this wilderness, and wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, Let us make a captain, and let us return into Egypt." I'll just be a few minutes this evening, but I want to encourage us tonight. Miss Sarah honestly texted me a little bit earlier today and asked me, "Hey, you know, do you have a title for this message, or is it a general theme or something?" And so I've been kind of working on a few different things. I wasn't sure, but what I'd like to talk to you tonight is about when our fear becomes failure. When our fear becomes failure. Let's pray. And we'll jump to the Word of God tonight. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this time that we can study your Word. God, thank you for the examples, the people's lives that you put into the Scriptures, God, that we can learn from, that we can take advantage of, and Lord, we can apply that to our life. Lord, I pray that you'd help me in these next few minutes. Lord, guide my words. Help me to be an encouragement to someone that's watching or listening along with us this evening. Thank you so much for the faithfulness of our church people, Lord. What a blessing it is, an encouragement it is to me personally, Lord, to see their love for you and their faithfulness to you, Lord. I pray that you would help us tonight. Help us to honor and glorify you with our words and our actions, God. We love you. Amen. So we see here, just to kind of give you a little bit of background. This is a very familiar story. I would say a pretty familiar story. The children of Israel, we know it. Great, amazing things that have happened so far in their lives. Okay, they were slaves in the land of Egypt. Okay, they had no rights. They were construction workers. They would build these great things for the Egyptians. We know the story. Moses obviously is brought up as a prince of Egypt. He goes into the wilderness. God calls him back to Egypt. You know, different series of events going on. He goes to Pharaoh, and God tells Moses, "Hey, I want you to guide my people out of slavery. I want you to guide my people out of this bondage." And so we see that Moses, you know, through the plagues, eventually shows Pharaoh, you know, or Pharaoh, you know, decides to let the children of Israel go. The children of Israel miraculously leave Egypt. They are headed out toward the wilderness, toward the promised land that God has said he'll give them. They get to the Red Sea. You know the story. Pharaoh changes his mind. He comes out with his entire army to chase the Israelites. Moses stretches out his rod over the water. The Red Sea parts. The children of Israel cross on dry ground. And if you could look through, and I'm sure you have, these previous chapters, you'll see all along that God had a very specific plan for His children. God had a very specific plan for this nation of Israel. This nation that He had promised to their forefathers hundreds of years before. He had promised that they would be a great nation. He had promised that He would give them a great land. And so we see here, these people in this time right now, this is the time that they've been looking forward to their entire life. Listen, they've been slaves. They're out of slavery. They had no idea when they were born. They had no idea that they were going to be out of slavery someday. They hoped. But Moses led them out of slavery. They have this freedom. God has taken care of them. And then we pick it up here. And again, I just want to look at this story. Honestly, it was about 2 or 3 weeks ago. In the junior high and the teen departments in the Sunday school, we've been going through looking at the life of Moses. And man, I just really enjoyed it. It's so amazing how many different ways. Moses is someone that's interesting to me because God used him in every phase of his life. Man, from the time he was young to the time he was old, you know, God used him as a servant and as a leader. And so it was just a great study looking at his life. And we were looking at this story in Sunday school and more from the eyes of Moses. But as I was reading it and kind of preparing the lesson a little bit, there are just a few different things that stuck out to me. So I just want to share them to you tonight. Now, I don't think any of these are going to be any theological groundbreaking statements or anything like that. But I do think it's something that is very applicable to the days that we live in. And that can be a big help to us. So again, these will be very quick. We're going to go through and kind of study this story. The first thing I see here is the men that were chosen. If you look back in chapter 13, we won't take the time to read it, all of it, but it says, and these were their names in verse 4, chapter 13, verse 4. And then it goes through and lists all these guys' names. Now, there are 12 total men. Okay, there are 12 tribes of Israel. Okay, it was one person from every tribe. Most of these men you're not familiar with. There are two of them that we have heard of before or that we will continue to hear from again later on. We have Caleb and Joshua. And as I was reading through this, I was kind of imagining how it would have been to be one of those men that was chosen. If you think about it, this is 12 men out of millions of people. Okay? Man, they had to. I'm sure these are some of the greatest fighters. Man, I'm sure they were some of the strongest men around. I'm sure they were some of the best at survival. To me, and again, this is just kind of how my brain works. Okay, they had to be able to go into a country. They had to be able to sneak around in this country, spy it out, as we'll learn here in a little bit. Okay, these were like, you know, these were like the Israelite Navy SEALs. Okay, I don't even know if that's a thing or not. Okay, but again, these guys, they were no nonsense. They knew what they had to do. Okay, Moses earlier on gives them you have to do. Hey, get in there, see what's going on. How we can get in there, conquer it, and get out again. And let's make a game plan for this thing. And so when I was thinking about it, man, what an honor it was for these guys. Man, I'm sure all of them had grown up and always heard about this time that we can go to the promised land. Man, I can't wait that God, remember hundreds of years ago, my granddad used to tell me about how we're going to have this promised land. And so finally it was their time. Hey, I was chosen to go on this mission to go explore this land that God said He'll give to us. I'm sure they're excited. So we see that this is the time they've been waiting for. Finally, they're going to enter what God had promised their forefathers hundreds of years prior. The second thing I see here is the mission. Well, what is the mission? The mission was to spy out the land. It says in Numbers chapter 13, verse 17, if you want to look there, it says, and Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said to them, get you up out of this way southward and go up into the mountain. See the land, what it is, and the people that dwell therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds. So we see it. What is the mission here? The mission is to go spy out the land. Man, hey, go figure out what's the terrain like. Hey, go up into the mountains. See how, what's the strength of the people in the mountains? Okay, gauge that. And maybe go down to the valleys and see, all right, oh man, there's a city here. That might be a little difficult. And there's a city there. And oh, they have an alliance, so we'll have to figure out. So it was a very strategic mission. How can we go about conquering this promised land that God gave us, that God gave to the Israelites? Okay, we know when they come back. If you want to look there in verse 28, we read it. We know the song, you know, 10 were bad, 2 were good, 12 men went to spy on Canaan. The men come back, and if you can imagine, I'm sure the Israelites are so excited. They are so close to this time. We can go into the promised land. We are ready to roll. We are ready to go conquer these people and take what God has given to us. Man, we're so excited. And these 12 men come back. And boy, things just, they didn't work out like they thought they would. These 10 men come back, and they go to the people, and they say, man, there were some big dudes in that land. Hey, you know, we're good fighters and everything, but I don't know. There were some giants in that land. Well, was it rich? Was there big? Was the fruit plentiful? Oh yeah, it was plentiful. Man, it was amazing. But man, there were giants in that land. Man, there were some walled cities. Look what they say. If you look at verse 27, it says, and they told him and said, we came into the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. But I find it so interesting, if you look at the first word of verse 28, it says, nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. I looked up that word nevertheless, just because it's not something that we would probably use very often today. It means in spite of that. So the men come back, they say, oh man, this land is beautiful, it is rich, it's flowing with milk and honey. Oh man, we got mountains, we have valleys, everything. Nevertheless, but in spite of all that, here are some things that we're fearful of. And as I was thinking about this, you know, these men took the mission and they just twisted it just a little bit. When Moses gave them this mission, their mission was never to determine whether or not Israel was going to go into the promised land. That wasn't their job. Their job was not to come back and say, nope, we can't do that. Let's go to the next promised land. No, that was not up to them. God had already said, this is the land I'm going to give you. Their job was to very strategically figure out how to do it. So we see there here, number one, we have the men that were chosen. Number two, the mission. The mission was to spy out the land. But then number three, we find the mistake. The mistake. If you look there, and I read it there, the first two things they noticed, what happened? They allowed the things in the land to cause them fear. It says in verse 28 there, nevertheless, the people be strong. The first thing they noticed was the strength of the enemy. Listen, man, there's some big guys over there. Man, there are some physical, tall men, and they got some warriors, and I don't know if we can handle that. What's the second thing? They noticed the obstacles that they would have to overcome. It said the cities are walled and very great, and moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. So they noticed the people there. They noticed the great obstacles that would have to be overcome. And I wrote this down here. I said, you know what? Somehow, over this time period, sometime during this mission, something changed in these men's perspective. The mighty people and the great walled city should have been an opportunity to rejoice in the victory that God was about to give them, but instead, it causes them fear. Man, they should have been, hey, man, those people were tall. Man, those guys are huge. These cities are great, but God has already promised us this land. Hey, it doesn't matter. We can go forward. We can conquer this land. God has already said He's going to give it to us. But instead, they allowed the fear in their hearts to control their decision. And as I was thinking about this, man, we can get angry at them. To me, you know, growing up as a little kid, I would get mad at them. Man, the 10 were bad. The 2 were good. How dare they? Okay? But how many times in our life did that same thing happen to us? And man, this was so convicting as I was thinking about it. You know, how many times does God give us a plan? And God says, you know what, this is the plan I have for your life. This is what I want you to do. And maybe we go forward with it, and once we get in and we start that plan, do we start the plan? Yes, we do. Just like these men, they went on the mission, they did the right thing at first, but once they get started, what do we allow? We allow what our eyes see. Okay, we allow the people, maybe enemies or people that are going against what we want to do. We allow the obstacles in our life, maybe things that come up that we don't understand. Hey, we don't understand why these obstacles come up. And what happens? We allow our fear to control our life. You know, God may ask us to do something and we agree to it, not knowing the obstacles that are coming down the road. We need to realize that God knows and still sent us down that road. Listen, when those guys went into this promised land, the land of Canaan that God had promised them, when they came back and they said, wow, there's some giants in the land. Okay? God was not surprised by that. God knew there were giants in the land. When they came back and said, man, these cities are huge. Man, they have these great walls and I don't know how we're going to take it over. Oh my goodness, I can't imagine it. God was not surprised by that. And so many times in our life, we will start what God wants us to do. We're very good at starting it. We'll start going down the path. Man, we're walking down the path and say, hey, I know this is what God wants me to do, and I'm going to trust Him. We're going to go down this path. But what happens? An obstacle arises. Man, something happens in our life that we don't understand, and what do? We start doubting everything that God has already done in their life. God had already fed them in the desert. God had already freed them from slavery. God had already blessed them in so many different ways. But as soon as an obstacle came in their path, all that went up to waste. Oh my goodness, what is God doing in my life? And man, how many times does that happen in our personal lives? When our fear becomes our failure. The men come back. Well, let me just say this. I heard a quote many times, and pastor says it often. Whom God calls, God equips. God had already, whether they knew it or not, God had perfectly equipped the Israelites to defeat all the countries in the land of Canaan. He had. Now, they didn't know that yet. They allowed their fear to control them, and honestly, they would never know that. But God had a plan. He had equipped them to defeat every obstacle in their path. That was already taken care of. They just had to trust God through that process. And likewise in our life. Listen, God, for every obstacle that is going to come in our life, we might not think we can handle it. Okay, we might doubt that we can handle it. Probably most of the time, we will doubt that we can handle it. But that God says, hey, whatever comes in your life, I have already equipped you to handle that. Listen, lean on me. I'm going to help you through this. And we see here that these men missed out on an opportunity to trust God, but instead allowed that fear, allowed that not being sure, not letting their eyes affect what was going on in their heart. They allowed it to affect their action. And again, I had this quote written down. I called it first. I'm just going to say this. But it's a very common quote as well. Brother Harding even used it on Sunday night, I think it was. Has it ever occurred to you that nothing has ever occurred to God? Listen, these obstacles that came in the path of the Israelites, they didn't surprise God. He already had a plan for it. The men come back scared and discouraged, and they share their feelings with the rest of the Israelites. We come down all the way through this. If you go to verse 31, it ends with, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. So you're telling me that after God has freed them from slavery, after God has miraculously, delivered them for the most mighty army and nation on earth at that time, after God has taken care of them across the wilderness, after God has fed them, He's given them water to drink, He's given them shade to walk underneath. Man, this is a good deal. After He's done everything that He's done, we allow these obstacles, these things that come in our life, and we allow that fear to control us, and they end it with, we be not able. Hey, we're not able to do this. Hey, there's no way we can conquer this land. You know, I wrote this down here. It is not a sin, or it's not necessarily wrong if we have fear. I think there's many times in our life that we have fear in our lives. Okay, I know for me, that happens to me probably every day. There's something that comes into my life that gives me fear. But what happens? It becomes sin when we take off our focus off of God's plans, and we put that focus on wherever that fear may come in our life. Listen, if we have things that scare us, are things that scare us going to come into our lives? Absolutely, yes. Okay, sorry if that hasn't happened to you yet. Watch out. Your family members hate, around the corner about to scare you as you leave the sermon. I'm just kidding. But anyway, we're going to have things in our life that cause us fear. And I think that's pretty normal for everyone. But when we allow those things to control us, listen, it was not bad for those men to go into a land and be scared of a giant. If I was one of those men and I went into a land and saw a dude that was 9 feet tall, I would be scared. I promise I would. But where did they go wrong? When they allowed that fear to control them. They came back and said, oh, we can't do this. Man, let's get out of here. And eventually they'll say, let's turn around and go back. So we see there, what was their mistake? Their mistake was allowing their fear to control them. Number four, we'll see here is the, again, I had these M's going on. Number one, the men, the mission, the mistake. And then number four, couldn't get an M perfectly. The aftermath. The aftermath. Pretty close there. In chapter 14 and verse 1, it says, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. This is so huge. This is so huge. And man, it is so convicting to me when I think about it. There were 10 men that went into the promised land. There were 10 men that left the promised land scared. There were 10 men that left being fearful. But when they came back and the first thing they said was how we cannot do it, it affected millions of people. They come back in verse 1 and all the congregation. These 10 men being fearful in their hearts and not being sure and not trusting what God had given them, it affected millions of people. Listen, the whole congregation, all of Israel, went from, oh, let's go to the promised land, to, what? Man, there's giants? We can't do this. And they start crying. And they all cried, and the people wept that night. The children of Israel are fearful and want to overthrow Moses and Aaron. That's the first thing they say. We're going to overthrow Moses and Aaron. And I notice here, first off, under this point, the first thing that fearful people do, listen, we know that our fear, we don't want our fear to cause failure. When it does happen, fearful people's response is to lash out. Okay? When, if someone is scared, okay, this is a personal illustration. Me and my wife were cleaning last Saturday, here at the church, and I was cleaning the gym. She was helping me in my classroom, and I had the great idea, I'm gonna sneak up behind my wife and scare her. That is never a good thing to do, to your wife. So, okay, I thought I was being stealthy and creeping in. She's wiping down and sanitizing my classroom for school. Like, what an amazing wife. And I come up and try to scare her. And her reaction, okay, what is her reaction? She's not a screamer. I guess that's, I don't know if that's good or bad. She is a reactor. She had a little wipe in her hand and she turned around, boom, and slapped me right in the face with the wipe, okay? What is it? When we have that rush of fear in our lives, when we get scared, we lash out. I think we have all had times in our life when we have been the person lashing out, or we've seen people that are scared lash out. What are the first three things? Again, when fear controls your life, it's going to really, really mess up your decision making. Okay, let's look at it. There's three decisions that the children of Israel make right away after they become very scared. Number one, the children of Israel turn against God's plan. Look at verse 1, 2, 3. And cry, and the congregation lifted up their voice. They cried and people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, would to God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would to God that we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword. So, their first decision after being fearful, what is it? They turn against God's plan. God brought us out here to kill us. Okay? Now, I don't know about you. That's a little bit of messed up reasoning. Okay? When fear is controlling you. So, okay, they didn't start out very well. Okay? They rejected God's plan. God brought us to the desert so we could kill everyone. Okay? That's the first decision they make when they allow fear to control them. Number two, they turn against God's man. So first off, they turn against the plan. Then they turn against God's man. What do they say next? They murmured against Moses and Aaron. They said, who's this guy Moses? Who's this guy Aaron? Why are they leading us? Let's get rid of them. Okay, so they went against God. God just brought them to the desert to kill them. Okay, they went against God's man. Okay, Moses and Aaron, this was a conspiracy. They're trying to kill us too. Okay, great. This is some great decision making when you allow fear to control your life. Number three, the children of Israel turn against those who stand. Like that, God's plan, God's man, those who stand. Okay, in verse 10, in chapter 14, verse 10, it says, but all the congregation, they'd stone them with stones. Okay, so first off, they get one against God, said, oh, God's trying to kill us. Then they said, Moses and Aaron, and they're just trying to fool us into coming into the desert. And then the two guys that had enough courage to stand up, Joshua and Caleb, they say, oh, man, let's kill them. Let's stone them. They wanted to stone Joshua and Caleb. What was their solution? Okay, again, great decision-making so far, guys. When we allow fear to control our lives, get rid of God, get rid of the leadership, and anybody who stands up, take them down. Their solution was to return to Egypt and get rid of their godly leadership. Oh, that sounds great. Let's think about for a minute, what was in Egypt? Well, the children of Israel, whenever they got angry or when they got frustrated with what God was doing or what Moses did, or if they didn't understand something, their first response was like, man, let's just go back to Egypt. So let's look at what was in Egypt, because it must have been a wonderful place. Slavery. Okay. Working for free, having no rights, and being someone else's property. That's what they would refer to. If our plan here isn't working, get rid of God's plan, get rid of God's man, get rid of anybody who stands against us, and let's go back to slavery, okay? That would have been a hard sell for me. I don't think I could have gone along with that one very well. So the children of Israel repeatedly want to return to Egypt whenever things didn't go their way. They glorified their life there. Okay, again, when they lived there, they were slaves. So, man, when they get fear, when they allow fear to come into their lives, they allow it to control their lives, And man, everything else just goes out the door. We want to go back to Egypt. Remember how good it was there? And Moses is shaking his head. No, it was not good there. We do not want to go back there. I don't understand what you're reasoning, okay? And they want to go back. And so many times in our life, listen, when things don't work out for us, man, when we allow fear to control our life, what do? And so many times, and I am guilty of this, what is our response when things don't work out the way that we thought they would? We like to go, again, and this is a little bit weird, and I don't know if this would have been my comfort zone, but going back to Egypt and going back to slavery was Israel's comfort zone. Okay? It was, they had been slaves for all their lives. Their parents before them had been slaves all their lives. Their parents before them, their grandparents, they had been slaves all their lives. To them, again, it's weird for us to think about, but for them, Egypt was their comfort zone. And whenever things got hard, whenever things came into their life that they were fearful of and they allowed that fear to control them, where was the first place they wanted to go back to? Let's go back to where we're comfortable. Let's go back to where we're used to. And man, does that happen in our lives as well? Man, when God gives us something that He wants us to do, when God gives us a plan that He wants us to fulfill, and we allow that fear to control us, and we allow it to alter our decision making, the first thing is, the decisions that we make when fear is controlling our lives will never be great decisions. Ever. That should be an example just from their first decisions that they made. The second thing is, we'll want to go back to our comfort zone. We'll want to go back to the very thing that we needed to get out of. Listen. We can make fun of the children of Israel for wanting to go back to slaves, but a lot of times when we don't trust God's plan, we go back to the same sin that enslaved us in the first place. We're going back to slavery, not necessarily physical slavery, but we're going back to the slavery of the sins that we fought so hard to get out of. Man, when we allow fear to control our life, it can be so devastating. So we see here the aftermath. These people say, get rid of all leadership, get rid of God, get rid of everyone that stands up against it. We want to go back to slavery. We want to go back to our comfort zone. And then fifthly and lastly, we end here. The man of God speaks. So we had number one, we had the men, the mission, the mistake, the aftermath. And then lastly, the man of God speaks. This is in verse chapter 14 and verse 39. So we will skip over there. I'll read it quickly. And it says, and Moses told these sayings unto all the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly. Well, you say, Brother Derek, what are these sayings? For a couple of things, after all this, God comes to Moses. And Moses, God is very frustrated with the children of Israel, and He had a right to be. He comes to Moses and says, hey, Moses, how would you like to lead a brand new group of people? Okay, how would you like to have a new promised land? A new group of people, and I will give them to you to lead. Okay, God is frustrated. So God offers Moses a new group of people to lead. And then later on in chapter 14, God gives the punishment to Moses that an entire generation would miss out on the promised land. God comes to Moses and says, listen, every adult, okay, every person that doubted what my plan was, every person that did not have the faith to trust that I had a plan for them, that allowed fear to control their lives, that had a negative reaction, that wanted to, throw my plan out the window, that wanted to get rid of you, that wanted to kill Joshua and Caleb for standing up for what was right. Every person that made that decision that was an adult, they will never see the promised land. Never see the promised land. So we see it later on, and I'm kind of skipping through these verses just for sake of time. In verse 39, Moses then tells the people the punishment of God, that they would wander in the wilderness for 40 years until every adult had died. So when they allowed fear to control them, it messed up their decisions. It made them want to go back to their comfort zone and just so many different things that they didn't, that if they would have been in the right mind, they never would have chosen that. And it altered the rest of their life. Listen, for the next 40 years, these people would literally wander in circles, knowing that they didn't have to be wandering in circles at that time if they had trusted in God's plan. And this is very interesting, and I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time here, but if you want to look in chapter 14, verse 41 and 42, Moses said, wherefore now do you transgress the commandment of the Lord, but it shall not prosper. Go not up, for the Lord is not among you, that ye be not smitten before your enemies. You know, the children of Israel, after all this goes through, some of them, you know, a little bit of a rogue band gets together and says, okay, we're going to show our faith in God. We're going to show that we can defeat them anyway. Okay, we don't need anybody else. And we're going to go fight, you know, this random group of people. And so they go and they try. Okay, they go without God's help. They go without Moses' blessing. They go without the Ark of the Covenant. Moses says, listen, don't do this. You've already messed up. Okay? It's not going to work out for you. And they go and they try, and they're defeated. So we see here, the man of God speaks and says, listen, for these next 40 years, you'll wander in the wilderness. The people's response was to try and do the work of God in their own strength, which will never lead to success. And I think there's been times in our life when we've done that. Man, when we've allowed fear to control us, and then we just try to do the work in our own strength. We don't rely on God's help anymore. We say, God, I'm scared of that, so I'm just going to try to do this on my own, and that will never work out well. So, we looked at these five different things from the story, and again, I just have a few more minutes here. What are some general takeaways that we can apply to our lives from this story in Scripture? And again, this is a little bit of a disappointing story if we look at it, but I do think there's some things that we can take that can encourage us. Number one, what we can take away, that God has a plan during difficult times in our life, even when we do not. Was this a difficult time, regardless of this outcome that we find out about? Was this a difficult time for Israel? Yes, it was. They were going to have to fight no matter what. They were going to have to go to battle no matter what. Was this a difficult time? Yes. But God had a plan for them. Likewise in our life. Hey, when we have difficult times come into our lives, don't let fear control us. Know that God has a plan through that difficult time. Number two, we can trust that when we don't understand God's plan, He already has the ending figured out. When we don't understand God's plan, He already has the ending all figured out. Listen, it didn't bother God. God wasn't worried about how this family of giants, the sons of Anak, that's repeated over and over again. He wasn't worried about the walls. Okay, later on, you can read about it. He took care of the walls pretty easily. Didn't really, they didn't even have to fight. They just kind of fell over and screamed. Okay? So, that didn't worry God. He already had the ending figured out. And likewise in our life. Listen, we can trust in God knowing that as worried as we are about these problems, He is not worried about these problems. He knows what's going to happen. He knows the ending. We might be sweating down here. We might be fearful. But we have to trust that God has a plan. And don't let fear control our life. Thirdly, don't let our fear over physical problems in our life control our trust in an all-powerful God. Don't let our fear over physical problems in our life control our trust in an all-powerful God. I kind of hit on that one with the one before. Number four, when things don't go our way, run back to God, not back to our comfort zone. Hey, when things come in our life that scare us, are they going to come? Yes. Are things going to come in our life that we don't understand, that are going to be obstacles that we're going to have to overcome, and they're going to be difficult? Yes, they are. But when those things happen, don't let fears come into our life and have a placehold there and have to go back to the very same things that we left in the first place. Go to God and say, God, I'm fearful, but I trust You, and I trust Your plan. And then number five, don't try to replace the power of God with our own human effort. And that's just from the very end of that story there, when you have this group of guys that say, you know what, we're just going to go do this alone by ourselves. We're going to go fight, see what we can do. And it did not work out well for them. So don't try to replace the power of God with our human effort. In conclusion, if you continue to look at the story, God continues to care for the children of Israel because they are His people. But they missed out on an amazing opportunity to fulfill God's plan for their life. If you keep reading this story, again, does God still do miracles in the children of Israel? Yes, He does. He still continues to feed them. He still continues to give them water. Especially for these next 40 years, their clothes would never wear out. They would never outgrow their shoes. They never had to replace their shoes. That'd be kind of cool. Every day is like a new set of clothes, and that'd be a pretty neat deal. So does God just totally abandon Israel and say, no, I'm done with you, I'm going to leave you, you guys can figure it out? No, He doesn't. He continues to provide for them and continues to care for them, but they missed out on an amazing opportunity. And I wrote down an opportunity of a lifetime. And ironically, that's exactly what it was. For the next 40 years, they would wander in the wilderness. And again, as I was thinking about this, and I was saying, man, this fear that we can allow to control us, and then as I was kind of figuring out how do you wrap it up, it kind of struck me a little bit here that these people, they had to wander for 40 years, but it didn't just affect them. And this was a challenge to me. It didn't just affect them. Do you realize that for the next 40 years, their decision would affect the continuing generations? For the next 40 years, their children would never know what it was like to, and then I wrote some stuff down here, and it's very easy and maybe a little bit two simple things. But first off, their children never know what it was like to live in a permanent household. They would literally be raising their family in a tent until they died. That was their punishment. For the rest of my life, I'm going to live in a tent, and my family will never know what it's like to have a house. Number two, again, some of these are very easy. Own property, stay in one place permanently, have a reliable source of water, live anywhere else but the desert. Okay, some people love the desert. I am not a desert lover. I like driving through the desert. It's pretty, but I just never had the urge to camp in the middle of the desert. Okay, these people literally for 40 years, they had to live in the desert. And most importantly, enjoy the fruit of God's blessing. Can you imagine, 5 years down the road, okay, maybe their kids were really young, or they were, elementary age or teenagers, and a few years down the road, I mean, this is what I would do. I'd go to my parents, hey, mom, dad, hey, last week when we were walking, okay, I saw over there, and there was this thing. It was like a structure, but it was made out of rocks, and it was made out of dirt, and it stood up on its own. Man, could we live in one of those? No, son. Hey, we're in a tent. Well, Dad, can't we just go over there and have what'd you call it, a house? Can we go have a house? No, we're living in this tent, son. Well, why is that? Why do we always have to be moving? Why do we always have to be in the desert? Why can we never have a permanent place to live? Why are we always having to search for water? Man, why are all these things? And you can imagine that parent going back and saying, man, I can't believe for that short time period. Man, when I allowed fear to control my life, it affected not just me. Hey, it affected my family. It affected grandchildren. 40 years is a long time. It affected so many people in the coming generations. And boy, what a challenge that is to me. Listen, I never want anyone that either I am trying to influence, or maybe someone that's younger that is looking up, or a new Christian, to say, hey, you know, why is it that why aren't you doing that? Man, why aren't you able to do this? Or why can't we do this? And I have to explain to them how, because I allowed fear to control my life, I lost an opportunity that God gave to me. Man, I don't want that to happen. So we don't have to live. And then I'll end with this. The good thing, the greatest thing about being a Christian. Listen, this story, if we just look at this story, it'd be a little bit depressing. Okay? But what can we learn from it? Listen, we don't have to be that. We don't have to live a life of fear. We don't have to say everything we're scared of, because we understand that we have a Savior that has conquered fear. He's conquered death. He's conquered everything. And we can put our trust in Him and know that He has a plan for our life. We don't have to live a life of fear because we have a Savior that has already overcome the world. This is in John 16:33. I'll end with this and we'll pray and I'll get you going this evening. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the Lord. Praise God that we have a Savior. We have Jesus Christ in our life that has a plan for our life, that understands that there are things in our life that are going to be difficult. But He says, I've already taken care of it. I've already got a plan for it. Just trust me. Don't let fear control your life. Don't let it hinder you from doing what I have for you. Don't fear. I have already overcome it. I've already overcome the world. Don't worry about it. And man, what an encouragement that is to me as a Christian. And I hope that it was to you as well this evening. Such a great lesson. Just some practical thoughts from here in Numbers from the children of Israel about not allowing fear to cause failure in our life. Let's pray here. As soon as I get done praying, we'll end the live stream. Thank you so much for your faithfulness to church. Again, we're so excited here in the next about a week and a half or so, I think December 6th, when we can have in-person services again. We're definitely looking forward to that day. Let's pray. And we'll get going this evening. Lord, thank you so much for this truth. Thank you for your word. Lord, help us not to live in fear. It's so easy in the society that we live in that is just controlled by things that they don't understand or that they're scared of. God, we know that you have a plan, that we can trust in you implicitly with our whole heart. God, I pray that you would help us to stay close to you in difficult times. Help us to rely on you, Lord. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for all you do for us. We sure do love you. Amen.